So we're in a series called What Now? Or Now What? So, you know, you may have some important event within your life and then that's finished. Then you say, well, what now? And I believe it's same after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We had Easter, Jesus died. Easter Sunday, he rose again. What now? And that is an interesting question, because we can just think, oh, that's over. Let's turn up the church next year. Or whoever, or just think about it next year. I just want to put some stats in front of you. What is the population of the world today? 8 billion? 8 billion, okay. So if the world's population today is around 8 billion, listen to this, 2.5 billion of the world's population are Christian. So that is 30% of the world's population are so-called Christian, call themselves Christian. So there's still 5 billion people that do not know the Lord Jesus. Who believes that's a lie? Okay. In Australia, get this, there's 11.1 million people that identify themselves as Christians. 11.1%. That's 43% of Australians' population call themselves Christian. Whether they're born again or not, I'm unsure, but that's what the stats say, 43%. 15 million still don't know Jesus. That is 57% of the world's population. So we asked the question before, after Easter, in the death and the resurrection of Christ, you may say, what should happen next? Well, I believe that Jesus gave his disciples clear instruction of what was needed after he was risen from the dead and went to heaven. And as you look at the Bible, it seems like before Jesus, because you know, when he rose from the dead, before he ascended, he was around for 6 weeks. So he revealed himself to 500 people in different places and different atmospheres. And so it was verified that he'd risen from the dead. But when it came time for him to ascend to heaven, he was giving his disciples last-minute instructions. He told them over the 3 years, but at that last, just before he went, he was giving them last-minute instructions. Now, let me ask you as, like, parents, if you're going away and you've left your adult children at home, and you said, feed the dog, make sure you put rubbish out, make sure you mow the lawn, do this and do that, I guarantee that you'd be giving them last-minute instructions before you walk out the door. Now, don't forget to do this. Now, don't forget to do that. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And basically, kind of, this is what Jesus was doing to his disciples. Now, in Matthew 28 and verse 16, this is after Jesus had risen from the dead, it said, then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus appointed for them. Isn't that good news? Jesus told them to turn up, and they turned up. Which he appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Well, you might say, well, why did some worship? Well, they're the ones who had seen Jesus before. The ones that were doubting were the ones who hadn't seen him since his resurrection. So they weren't too clear. And Jesus kind of ignored the whole thing, and Jesus came and spoke to them and said, hey guys, because I've died, because I've risen from the dead, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says this question, or this statement to them. What now? Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'll be with you even to the end of the age. What now? Jesus gives his disciples instructions. Let me go to another scripture. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. After the resurrection. Here he is again. After being assembled together with them. So this is another proof that Jesus rose from the dead. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. You see, guys, I'm going very soon, very soon. What would be right at the end of this talk? I'm going. He says, I don't want you to depart from Jerusalem, but I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. Which, what's it say? He said, you heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But he says this, isn't it amazing when you're trying to get something clear? Like Jesus was saying, hey guys, I'm giving you instructions. And then they went over here and said, is it this time that you're going to restore the kingdom? Now Jesus says, stay on point. Listen to me. He says this, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be able to live this Christian life. You're going to be, there's something's going to flow out of your life that's going to make a difference to many, many people. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. A witness is someone who sees something. Like today, you're witnessing, you're seeing me preach. So you can go out and say, yeah, I saw him. And explain, that is a witness. They see something that has happened. Witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'll explain more about that in weeks to come. Now, let me give you one more scripture. Staying with me? Now, a few weeks before he ascended back to heaven, Jesus is with his disciples again. John 16, verses 5 to 7. It reads like this. This is before, back when he was with the disciples, when he was on earth. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? And because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. And I want us to emphasize one scripture in this verse, in this passage, and it's verse 7. And just look at it and read it in your mind. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Hey, isn't it good news Jesus tells the truth? Not beating around the bush, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. In a couple of weeks' time, we'll be celebrating the day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came upon humankind. And I want to tell you today that it's not all about fire and all those kind of things. The power of the Holy Spirit is the person of the Holy Spirit coming to dwell within your heart. And I want to tell you today, if you belong to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is for you. The presence of Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. That's why you can declare, I am not alone.
Amen.
You may feel lonely occasionally, but you're not alone because the person of the Holy Spirit is within your life. And I want to say today, hey, no matter what we face, the Holy Spirit is there. You have times of grief and sadness and loss and all the emotions, but beneath all that is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just love that. So, when Jesus ascended to heaven, when he went up, the Holy Spirit came down. It was to our advantage that he goes up because Jesus was just in one place. Just imagine that this morning, last week, I advertised Jesus Christ is preaching in person at Trinity Church. Would you come? Let me say it again. We advertised Jesus was going to come and preach on Mother's Day. That may help you. Mother's Day is on Sunday. You understand that? So we're here Sunday. And Jesus is going to preach. I guarantee this place would be filled. There'd be people everywhere. Thousands of people. Jesus is going to preach. But there's only one Jesus in one place. The next week after that, he's going to be preaching in Siberia. But have a guess who's going to preach the Sunday after Jesus preaches? What a bummer that would be. Jesus preaching, then John. So Jesus said, I'm only in one area. But he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, I will be in that person, that person, that person, that person, that person, that person, that person. It's not limited to a geographical area. And Jesus said, it's to your advantage. You're going to get me in the Holy Spirit in every person's life, in every different nation upon earth. I'll be there. So let's get this. So Jesus didn't leave without instruction. He left us physically, but he didn't leave us spiritually. Okay? So now the work of Jesus that he started on earth in his 3 years journey on earth now continues through us, his people. Don't get too worried about it. Let's go on here. His ascension was a handover, not a farewell. What did he do? He passed the baton and he says, okay, continue my work on earth. Pass the baton. Continue. Take the baton. Take the baton. You continue my work on earth. Take the baton. 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 You're not too old. Come on. You're not too young. Take the baton. And what do you do when you got a baton? Hang on to it. Oh, I dropped it. Pick it up. Let's go again. It was not a farewell. It was a handover. Jesus went to heaven, but his work stayed on earth. And that's why I said there's 8 billion people on the earth. 43% know Jesus Christ. 57% don't know Jesus Christ. In Australia, 11 million people know Jesus, 43%. And so we see there's a great percentage that do not know Jesus Christ as yet. And you might say, do I have to get out of this place today, go and stand on the box and preach on the street? No, 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 no. Turn to your neighbor and say, no, 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 don't get carried away. Okay. Okay. He has given us the Holy Spirit. It's in your heart and life, and now we just live our best life. Are you hearing me? Live your best life. Oh, I've got my best life in the future. Live your best life now. I think Joel Osteen says that. Live your best life now. Live it. Live it. Live it in Jesus' name. He has given us the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to bring all this in now. Are you ready? Remember last week, if you're here, I had salt. Who remembers that? Salt. Were you here last week? Oh, naughty boy. Were you here last week? Holy Spirit's touching your life today, dear. You know that, don't you? What about you up the end? Okay. The rest you go and buy your own. Salt. I even bought a salt shaker. Salt. Listen to this. Matthew 5:13. Put your eyes on this. This is exciting. You are the salt of the earth. He didn't say you will be. You are. Turn to the person beside and say, you are. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing. What's it good for? Nothing. But to be thrown out and trampled under the foot by men. Now let me give you a little lesson here. Pure salt, sodium chloride, doesn't actually lose, leave it on please, actually does not lose its flavor. Well, let's read this. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? But it doesn't lose its flavor. We have a scientific problem here. Now let's go for a little modern processing of salt like we have today. You know, started in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So we've basically got salt that has been, you know, the processes of purifying it. Did you know that in the ancient times that salt was a very much sought over commodity? It was very expensive and people used to trade with salt. People used to get salt allowances and the Roman soldiers used to get paid with salt. And that's where the word salary comes from. It's a Latin word for salt. There's a trivia question for you. And so it wasn't refined like it is today. It was often taken direct from the salt mines or from the salt lakes like the Dead Sea. And it was often mixed with sand and soil and other minerals. So it wasn't pure, it was kind of mixed. And over time, if they left that in a bag, the actual salty part would leach out. So what was left was something that looked like salt, but had no taste or preservative power. Who's ever gone, you're having a meal, and it tastes a bit bland, and you put salt on it? Taste it, and taste it different. You know, and then you kind of realize it was some sort of powder, it wasn't salt. And you just kind of think, oh, I got ripped off there. So here we see that if they left it too long, the salty part would leach out, and what was left was something that looked like salt but had no power of preserving power. That's where we're up to. So the issue is not salt losing its nature. It's that true salt was gone, leaving useless residue. That's what was left after this salty part, the residue had leached out of the bag. So what Jesus is really saying here is this. It can look like salt. It may still identify itself as salt, but its power and influence has gone. That's why the phrase says, if it loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be trampled under feet. And as he's trampled under foot, apparently the Roman soldiers would take this residue that where the salt had gone out of it, and they would take bags of this tasteless salt and throw it on the roads and on the pathways, and people would walk over it and over it and over again, and that's where they'd say they'd trample it under foot. That just becomes road based. So let's look at the scripture again. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Let me pull all this together. I want to give you salt's spiritual purpose. Number one, salt. It adds flavor. Turn to someone and say, it adds flavor. It makes things taste as they should. Let me get back to the bland food. If you've got some food and it just tastes a bit bland, You put a bit of salt on it. you put a bit of salt on it. You taste it. No, not quite. You put a bit on it. Oh, then you say, that's right. Do you know what I mean? That's better. Turn to someone and say, that's better. And so, salt adds flavor. It tastes as it should. And I believe that what salt does for us spiritually is, hey, that feels good. They're a Christian. That feels good. That seems good. You see, we as you are the salt of the earth. What's it mean? I believe that we bring life because you have the life of God within you. I believe what salt is, if we add flavor, but we bring life. We bring a bit of energy. We bring a bit of hope into a hopeless situation. We bring peace into a situation that would maybe be full of anxiety and tension. We add flavor. When you're around, the conversation lifts. We don't gossip. We don't criticize. We don't tell dirty jokes. We don't have yell at people behind their backs. There's something different about us. We are salt. We have the ability to lift and change the environment that we're in. The atmosphere lifts. I think that's cool. I believe that the life of Jesus has the ability to lift you. It makes dull people, it makes their eyes light up. There's something about a Christian that if you just look at yourself today and say, I am the salt of the earth, I have the Spirit of God within my life. Hey, sure, we have our bad days. Who has bad days? Three of you. Actually, I'll change it. I don't so much have bad days anymore. I have bad moments.
Yeah.
I don't want the whole day to be affected by my little whatever. But here it is. It says, the life of God has the ability to lift you. We can walk into a situation where there may be downcast, but just the right word, right spirit can change that whole situation. People encounter grace. And I was just thinking last night, there's a scripture in the Bible somewhere that talks about our words and salt. And I found it. It's Colossians 4 and verse 6. It says, let your conversation be always full of grace. Listen, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer every person. Sometimes we just need to pause and say, can I pour salt into this situation? Can I make this bland situation or this terrible situation better? In the Old Testament, there was Bathsheba or something like that. They had a well. And it kept on producing bad water. And Elijah said to them, put in some salt. And it cured it. I just believe that salt in your conversation, being gracious and understanding that we're going to add to this. We're not going to make it worse. We're going to add grace. We're going to add peace. We're going to add something of the grace of God. I believe you're living, you are the salt of the earth. Amen? Just pause occasionally. Who's a reactionary person here? Someone says, what? Who's like that? Anyone know it? Yeah. Just come forward, I'll pray for you. Actually, you should pray for all us. Everyone else is liars, you know? But I used to be reactionary, and I still can be. But now I just catch myself. No, wait. Pause. Press the pause button. Get the salt out. What can I do to make this better? You are the salt of the earth. You can do it. In Jesus, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Just for an example, I go around to your house, and you and your wife have a really big barney. They hear a knock on the door. Everything goes quiet. Hello, Pastor Jonathan. We were just seeing you praising the Lord. Isn't it so good to see you today? Come in. What happened to... You can be salt when you want it. You can turn it on, turn it off. You're the salt of the earth. Be careful when you're going to knock on the door. This is where you go. Actually, that did happen once. It was funny. There's none of you people here. But I went and visited, so I knocked on the door and I heard him going for it and that kind of stuff. So I just tripped off. Saw them next week. How you doing, Brother John? You didn't turn up. Sorry about that. Okay, number two. Salt adds flavor, salt preserves. Ancient days, they used to rub salt on it, stop decay. Get fish, put salt on it, and still do it. Salt fish. Red meat, salt just preserves it, causes us to live longer. And I believe what that means for us is that if we are the salt of the earth, we not only add flavor, I believe that we can be morally and spiritually stop decay.
Yeah.
Going into our families and into the life that we live. So we can hold back spiritual and moral decay by the way we live. We stand in integrity. You know what integrity is? What you appear to be, you are. What you appear to be, you are. Years ago, when we used to travel a lot over to, Asian countries and do mission works, they used to have time off, and you go down to the markets and they'd be selling all these kind of handbags and whatever, and all the big names. What's a big name handbag? Louis Vuitton, Gucci, all that kind of stuff. And you could pick up a Louis Vuitton over there for about $10. It was worth thousands. And the guy would Is it real? Yeah, it's real. They're plastic. But he said, yeah, is it real? Is it real? And he'd get his cigarette lighter and go under it, and yeah, really quick. You see later, you know, but they were fake. They were just looked like it, but they weren't integrous. You bring them home, a couple of months later, they begin to crack and all that kind of stuff. It didn't worry me anyway, but I used to buy them and bring them back and get another one next time I went. But they weren't integrous. They were not what we thought they were. And I believe for us as Christians, hey, whatever we are here, just try and be the same out there. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Yeah. We aren't perfect. Just try to be chilled. You're the salt of the earth in Jesus' name. Okay? Faithful in a restless culture. What is that? A lot of people today, they're having trouble being faithful in their workplace, in their relationships, in their church. Hey, we're different to that. We are the salt of the earth. We stay and we make a difference in Jesus' name. We stand for truth when it's blurred. Man, is truth blurred today? Isaiah, it says, truth has fallen in the street. And in our world, enlarged, truth, you know, even gender identity, just the practice of integrity are just lacking within our world today. And I believe that we, being the salt of the earth, don't try and be something you're not. But just be integrous, be consistent. Turn to someone and say, consistent. If you make a mistake, earn up, press on. No one's perfect in Jesus' name. We preserve what is right. Coming down to the last point. What does salt do? Adds flavor. It preserves. Makes you thirsty. You don't believe me? Who wants one of these? Do you want to have some? So you believe it makes you thirsty? Yeah, it does. I'm not going to forget it because it wouldn't be good for me. You are the salt of the earth. You know what you do? You make other people thirsty. You make them thirsty. Our lives make people thirsty for God by our sense of, man, we get knocked down, but we get up again. Something bad happens, but we get up again. And we find our joy, we find our purpose. It's not kind of pressuring people to see how different we are. No, we just allow ourselves to be who we are in Christ because we are the salt of the earth. It's not pressuring people. It's look at me. No, they begin to see it in Jesus' name. And I tell you what, I want everything I go through in life that it can be an example to someone else that if God was with him, he will be with me. And I believe you've got the same stories that as God was with you, you allow the salt of the earth to rise through your life. You'll have peace. You don't have to live stressed out lives. Thank God for peace. Amen. We go through turmoil, but we find out peace. We've got peace. Okay? It makes people thirsty. Gone through that, but God's with you. You're going through hard times and you find strength and you fall into the arms of Jesus. And I've done that a few times, even recently. I don't know, oh, Jesus, I don't know what to do. And you just fall into the arms of Jesus and he picks you up and he wraps his love around you. And like a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing with Andrew. I was going through a couple of weeks ago, I was just going through something, nothing to do with church. It was more financial situation. I said, God, I really don't know how to handle this. I'm pretty good. I know stuff. I just can't handle it. I don't know what to do. In the end, I just said, forget it. Walked away and left it. About 5 hours later, bang, bang, thought in my head, how to fix it. Put it in action, it was fixed. You see, God's there if we'll just learn to fall into his arms and let him strengthen you and maybe let the ideas flow into your life. Who knows what he can do? You are the salt of the earth. It makes people thirsty. I'll tell you what makes people thirsty. When you have love without an agenda. Do something, friend. Don't expect anything back, mate. Yeah, I help you. Don't expect anything back. That's what people do it for me. Hey, do it for someone else. Don't allow your good deeds and your love to have an agenda. Just serve with the agape, expecting nothing back. Love in life in Jesus' name. You're not trying to take advantage. And I just want to wind up now with this. how to become salty. If you are the salt of the earth, then you just feel like some of my salt has leached out. How can I keep myself salty? Very simple. Look at me. Stay close to Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Stay close to Jesus. Because he's got things he wants to whisper into your life. You know, the longer I walk with Jesus, George, the quieter the voice of God is. You know why? Because he wants me to come closer. Closer, closer. Okay? Closer, closer, closer. So how do I get salty? Just work on it, eh? Get into his word. I'm not saying hours, but just read his word. Listen to some good Christian music that kind of stirs something in your spirit. Fellowship, like you being guys being here today, this is going to help your week more than you ever realize.
Really,
just be in fellowship. Rubbing shoulders with people, there's something in the corporate anointing that gets into us, that strengthens us, and makes us even more thirsty in Jesus' name. You stay potent. I love salt where I can taste the salt. Some people say, John, you have too much salt. I know you've got to be in balance, but come on, church. Don't strive or struggle. It's about getting closer in Jesus' name. You don't produce the salt. We stay close to Jesus, and his flavors flow out of our life. Does that make sense? You are the salt of the earth. Put down again as I come to a close. You are the salt of the earth. So stay connected to Jesus. You got the verse up there? You are the salt of the earth. Stay connected to Jesus. The other one is, I think it's important. Be uncompromising. Because if you mix salt with dirt, it loses its potency. It may be a little bit salty, but it's a bit gravelly. It feels a bit dirty. It doesn't feel kind of right. And I just wanted to say, just be uncompromising. Compromise. I know, you know what compromise is? I'll just let myself off now. I'll just let myself off. I'm not talking about being stressed and all that kind of stuff, but no, it's okay. No one will know. But what compromising does, let me put it this way, it dulls conviction. You let yourself off too often, it just dulls your conviction. It doesn't matter anymore. I just want to encourage you, keep your heart pure. Keep your values clear. And let it be lived out in Jesus' name. Hey, and Jesus, in your life, through the power of the Holy Spirit, don't try and live for God. Allow him to live his life through you. Let that desire of God rise within your hearts in Jesus' name. And the third one is this. The one is stay connected, be uncompromising. Here's my third one. Be present where you are. If you want to be salty, be present. What's the time? Some people, 11:30, I'm out of here. Your head's gone. You're not present. How can you be salty if you're not present? We can do that at home. We're there, but we're not there. Our mind's somewhere else. And I just want to encourage you, where we are, be present. I just know when I was home, we had little kids and all that kind of stuff, man, my head wasn't present. My head was fishing. But you've got to be present. You understand what I mean. You've got to be present, present. And in church, it's only for a little while. Let's be present and be aware of people around us. And just a handshake or a smile or a hug could be such a salty experience for them. You're just being you, but you are the salt, and there's something of you influencing their life. In the name of the Lord. Be present. If we withdraw from people, what are we? We lose impact. What do you got to do? Go and put salt on yourself all day and lick yourself? It sounds bizarre. It sounds rude. We lose impact. Salt only works. Looks good in the packet? Looks good? Is salt in here? Salt in here? Is that helping you? Looks good. Is that helping you? It's in the packet. Salt doesn't work unless you... Sorry, I went to pour it on you. Salt only works if you apply it. Salt is all about proximity. And I believe that our lives, it's all about proximity. Don't look at what you aren't. Declare who you are. You are the salt of the earth. Are you perfect? No. But you've got salt within your life. You've got influence. There's something on you that can rub off on others and make their lives so much different in Jesus' name. You know what salt does for us? It makes us speak up when others may be talking down about someone. Makes you speak up. What does salt do? It makes you be kindness, share kindness where it's lacking. Salt, it brings peace into tension. We all need a takeaway, do we? Takeaway. I just want to encourage you this week. A little bit of homework. Remember you are the salt of the earth. And just take time and be present. And let some of that touch other people's lives. You could walk out here today, George, and shake someone's hand, and it could make their week. You know what you've done? You put salt in their life. Salt. Do you get one of these? Be salty. And I just believe the Holy Spirit has been walking amongst us today. As I just felt, it's kind of resonating. Yeah, we are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. What was Jesus' commission? Go and make disciples. Don't get all headed up about that. No, you just go and live your best life amongst people and you'll impact them in Jesus' name. Amen. Discipleship is not a program. Discipleship is people. The people you meet every day. The people that are in your family. The people that are in your church. You are the salt. And we have the power of God within us. And we move forward from strength to strength in Jesus' name. Let's stand. I want us to... My plan is always to finish 11:30. We're pretty close to it, aren't we? I just want us to sing one more a song. Then we're going to leave this place today knowing that we've met with God, knowing that we have a hope, and knowing that we have something in our lives, even though we may feel so imperfect, there's something in our lives that dares to make a difference. And we all want to make a difference in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Our friend Mary and George,
as
I'm visiting guest worship leader today, she's wonderful. We love you.
I love this song. Let's sing it together.